I've told you everything I can remember, Inspector, but it all happened so suddenly.
Did you recognize either of the men, madam?
No. No, I've never seen them before. I'm certain of that.
We have some photographs at the police station of known criminals working in this area. When you're feeling a little stronger, perhaps you might be able to identify the burglars.
They were no ordinary burglars, Inspector.
What makes you say that?
There were so many other things they could have taken, but all they were interested in was my son's luggage. When I came to, I saw one of them going through his trunk. So I scrambled to my feet and tried to stop him, but he shook me off.
You took a terrible risk, madam, tackling a villain like that.
I didn't stop to think. Everything in those cases belonged to my poor son. His clothes. They're all I have left of him now.
We also found a single sheet of paper on the floor. Do you recognize this handwriting?
Yes. It's my son's. But what is it?
We hoped it might be some help to us, a message of some sort, but I hardly think so. Looks like your son had been trying his hand at writing. Turned out novels in his spare time, perhaps?
No, not as far as I know, but may I see that again?
I can't make head nor tail of it, but it seems to be the last page of a book.
Man must live for something. If it is not for your embrace, my lady, then it shall surely be for your undoing and my complete revenge. The end. Oh, Douglas.
The Three Gables by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Peter Ling. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Mary Wimbush as Mrs. Maberly and John Wells as Clarence Gable. The Three Gables.
Good morning.
Ah, Watson, at last.
What do you mean, at last?
I was expecting you yesterday. In fact, I was getting rather concerned for your welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Sent a message to your house, but you weren't there. Was nothing wrong, I hope?
Not in the least. I had an invitation to spend the weekend with some friends in Berkshire.
Oh, did you indeed? Mm. I was quite unable to account for your absence. There were no shocking fatalities reported in the press, no medical men stricken by unknown tropical diseases. In desperation, I turned to Langdale Pike.
The Lake District?
Now, my dear chap, Langdale Pike is the author of that fascinating daily column in The Globe entitled In Confidence. You must know it, surely.
Oh, that Langdale Pike? No, certainly not. It's a disgraceful collection of mudslinging and tittle-tattle. I never read it.
In that case, how do you know it's disgraceful?
Oh, I may have glanced at it once or twice in passing. That was more than enough. I sincerely hope you weren't expecting to find any reference to me in the gutter press.
Of course not. Merely a pleasantry.
Mm.
Nevertheless, I was becoming a little anxious. You suddenly disappear without a word of explanation.
I beg your pardon. The fact is, I was in two minds whether to accept the invitation, but at the last moment I decided it would be churlish to refuse. My host and I were at school together. This weekend, he and his wife were celebrating their silver wedding.
Oh, I'm sorry, Watson. Forgive me.
No. It was thoughtless of me to go without...
No, not in the least. No, though I admit I was worried for your safety. Tell me, when you arrived, did that chap outside give you any trouble?
I didn't see anyone outside.
Well, you couldn't have missed him. A gigantic Negro wearing a suit of yellow and tan checks. It was quite remarkable. He's been hanging about on the opposite pavement ever since breakfast.
Oh, there was no one in the street at all, except Mrs. Hudson, on her way to the shops.
Really?
Mm.
Well, he must have grown tired of waiting and taking himself off. Well, no matter. You're here, safe and sound. And I fancy we may have a curious case to investigate. This letter arrived by the morning post.
Mm?
Yeah, see for yourself.
Dated yesterday. And sent from the Three Gables, Harrow Weald.
Read it through. Tell me how it strikes you.
Dear Mr. Holmes, I have had a succession of strange incidents occur to me in connection with this house, and I should very much appreciate your advice. You would find me here at any time tomorrow. The house is within a short walk of the Wheels station. I believe that my late husband, Mortimer Maberly, was one of your early clients. Yours faithfully, Mary Maberly.
What do you think?
Yeah, you must have been a very early client.
I was referring to the good lady's request. Doesn't it strike you as curious?
Since you ask, quite frankly, no, not particularly. I describe it as fairly commonplace myself.
Shh, there's someone on the stairs.
Good Lord!
Which of you two gents is Mr. Holmes?
I am Sherlock Holmes. Will you have the goodness to tell us your name?
Never you mind about me. I got a message for you, Mr. Holmes.
How the devil did you get into this house?
Easy. The old woman left the basement window open when she went out.
That constitutes an illegal entry. Holmes, should I fetch a police constable?
No, not just yet. Let us first hear this mysterious message.
The message is, you keep your nose out of other folks' business, Mr. Holmes. Just you leave folks to mind their own affairs. Got that?
Yes, the general drift seems pretty clear, though I'd be grateful if you could fill in a few details.
Grateful? You won't be so grateful if I have to trim you up a bit. Believe me, I've handled your kind before now, and they don't look so darn grateful when I get through with them. Take a look at my fist, Mr. Holmes. Take a real close look.
If you lay a finger on Mr. Holmes...
Fascinating. Notice the overdeveloped musculature, Watson. But I fancy you'll be liable to painful spasmodic cramps before very long, my friend. You can put the poker back in the hearth, old chap. Won't be necessary.
Very well. But I give you fair warning.
No, sir. I'm the one giving the warnings round here. I got a friend out Haraway who's mighty interested in you, Mr. Holmes. And he don't intend to have no button in by you. Got that?
Certainly.
Because you ain't the law and I ain't the law neither. And if you try anything on, I'll be right there waiting for you. So don't you forget it.
I should be delighted. I've wanted to meet you for some time. Aren't you Steve Dixie, the Bruiser?
Well, yeah, that's my name, but how did you know?
Oh, I know a good many things, Dixie. I know that you began life in the back streets of Harlem, and by virtue of your skill as a prize fighter, you soon moved into more elevated circles.
Yeah, I done pretty good for myself.
Unfortunately, you also became greedy and fell foul of the law. That was why you had to leave New York in a hurry and move to London, where you took up with some highly disreputable companions.
Now, listen, mister, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the killing of young Perkins outside the Holborn Bar.
Huh?
Ah, what's the matter? You're not leaving already.
I don't want to hear no talk like that. I got nothing to do with that there, Perkins. I was training at the Bull Ring in Birmingham when that boy done got in trouble.
And I suggest you tell that to the magistrates. The police are keeping an eye on you and Barney Stocktail, so if you know what's good for you...
I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. And I hope there ain't no hard feeling about this little visit.
There will be, unless you tell me who sent you here.
Well, there's no secret about that. It was that same gentleman you just mentioned.
Stocktail, eh? And who put him up to it, I wonder?
I don't know nothing, sir. He just told me, Steve, you go see Mr. Holmes and tell him his life ain't worth a brass farthing if he goes out Haraway. That's a whole truth, so help me. And now I'm off.
Yeah, I'm glad you were not forced to use the poker, Watson.
Mm.
He's a harmless enough fella. A great blustering baby. He's easily cowed.
But what's it all about? Who's Barney Stocktail?
He runs a gang of rogues and bully boys that I hope to clear up when I have the time. He makes their services available to anyone who needs some dirty work done and can pay for the privilege. What I want to know is who's behind the Stocktail gang on this particular occasion.
Why should they try to intimidate you?
Well, it's pretty clear that this is connected to the Harrow Weald affair. Yes, I thought it might prove interesting.
I still don't understand.
Well, neither do I. But if it's worth someone's while to go to so much trouble, yes, then that settles it. We must make our way to the Three Gables Harrow Weald as soon as possible.
Perhaps I should ring again. Or do you suppose Mrs. Maberly is out?
Oh, in her letter, she said she'd be at home all day.
All right. It's a parlourmaid's day off and I can't be in two places at once. What do you want?
We're here to see Mrs. Maberly. I believe she may be expecting us.
Oh, yes. What name shall I say?
My name is Holmes. This is my colleague, Dr. Watson.
Mm.
Well, I suppose you better come inside. I'll tell Mrs. Maberly you're here.
Mr. Holmes, how good of you to come all this way. But I felt sure you would not fail me. My husband had the highest opinion of you.
It's a good many years since Mr. Mebberley called upon my services. My colleague remembers him well. Isn't that right, Doctor?
Oh, yes, certainly. Though I don't recall the exact details of the case.
Why should you? It was a very trifling matter, after all. But perhaps you would be more familiar with the name of my son, Douglas.
Of course, I hadn't made the connection. I knew him slightly. But then half London knew Douglas Mebberley. He made a promising start in the diplomatic service and was posted abroad, I fancy.
He was first attaché in Rome until last month, when he died of pneumonia.
Oh, my dear lady, I'm very sorry. Well, it's hard to speak of death and Douglas Mebberley in the same breath. I've never known anyone so intensely alive.
You didn't see him as he became last year. A moody, brooding creature. His heart had been broken. Within 1 month, I saw my gallant boy turn into a worn-out, cynical man.
An unhappy love affair with the wrong woman?
Woman? I should say a fiend. But it was not to talk of my poor boy that I asked you to come here today.
Dr. Watson and I are at your service, believe me.
Thank you. It will be a great relief to have your advice, gentlemen. There have recently been some very strange happenings in this house. I've lived here for more than a year, peacefully enough, until 3 days ago when I had a call from a house agent.
I happened to be passing the house, madam, and the moment I laid eyes upon it, I said to myself, "That's the one," I said.
I beg your pardon?
It's exactly what my client is looking for. The situation, the outlook, the size. How many bedrooms? Well, if you don't mind me asking.
There are 3 principal bedrooms and 2 servants' bedrooms, but I don't quite see what to
making say. 5 bedrooms in all. Oh, dearie me, that couldn't be better. My client will be delighted.
But the house is not for sale. I haven't even considered moving.
Then I advise you to consider it now, madam. Very seriously. This property will suit my client down to the ground. And if you're prepared to sell, well, let's just say money will be no object. You can name your own price.
Well, that is certainly a very handsome offer, but...
You purchased the house a year ago, I believe. And property values have not risen since then. In fact, they have actually fallen slightly in this locality. But I assure you, my client will be very happy to pay you 500 more than you gave for it. You'll be making £500 profit on the transaction. What do you say to that, then, eh?
It certainly sounds very tempting.
No, of course it is. And I'll tell you another thing. My client will take the house lock, stock and barrel, just as it stands, including all contents.
You mean the furniture as well?
Well, yes, that sort of thing.
I realised I'd never get such an opportunity again, so eventually we agreed upon a figure. You see, I've always wanted to travel, and since Douglas has been taken from me, there's nothing to keep me here. The offer was so generous, it would enable me to do as I please for the rest of my life. Well, yesterday morning, the agreement arrived. It seemed quite straightforward. Of course, I showed it to my solicitor, Mr. Sutra, before I signed it. But when the agent returned to complete the transaction yesterday evening...
Something that puzzles you, madam. And what might that be?
Well, when I showed the contract to my solicitor, he examined it carefully, and then he told me something very odd. He said, "Are you aware that if you sign this document, you could not take anything whatever out of the house, not even your personal possessions?"
Ah, well, you did agree to include all the contents of the house, didn't you?
But surely we were referring to furniture, carpets and curtains and so on.
No. All the contents, madam. Everything.
But my clothes? My jewellery?
Well, perhaps some exceptions might be made for personal effects. If you care to drop a list of such items, I dare say we could agree to exclude those. But nothing must go out of this house unless it is specifically listed and agreed.
It still seems very extraordinary.
Oh, my client is a very liberal man, but I must admit that he has his little fans. Likes to do things his own way. With him, it's everything or nothing.
Oh, is it?
Now, madam, if you'd care to sign where I have indicated.
No. I've changed my mind. I'm sorry to have wasted your time, but I've decided not to sell the house after all. I'm sorry.
And what did the gentleman have to say to that?
He became very upset. He argued, he pleaded, but my mind was made up. So at last he left the house in a very bad temper.
Excuse me. Take no notice of me. Just carry on talking.
Where are you going?
Do continue with what you were telling us, Mrs. Maybury. I'm sure we shall soon get to the bottom of this mystery.
Goodness gracious.
As I thought, an eavesdropper at the door. Won't you come in?
Leave me alone. Let down my arm.
Susan, what is the meaning of this?
Well, madam, I was just coming in to ask if the visitors were staying for lunch when he jumped out at me. Give me the fright of my life, he did.
Nonsense, my dear. You've been outside that door for several minutes. Heavy breathers shouldn't listen at keyholes. A little asthmatic, aren't you?
Don't you go calling me names. You've got no right to go pulling
Never
me
mind, about. Susan, come in and join us. Now, tell me, Mrs. Maberly, did you mention to anyone else that you were going to write and consult me?
No, Mr. Holmes, I didn't.
And who posted your letter?
Well, I suppose it... Susan did.
Exactly. Now, Susan, to whom did you write or send a message to say that your mistress was in touch with Sherlock Holmes?
It's all lies. I never sent no message.
Susan, it's a wicked thing to tell fibs. Come on now. Who did you tell?
I didn't tell a soul. I swear, I never spoke to nobody.
That can't be quite true, Susan. Didn't I see you gossiping with some man at the garden gate the other morning?
Well, what if I did? There's no harm in passing the time of day, is there?
Suppose I were to suggest that the man you spoke to was Barney Stockdale.
Well, if you know so much, what do you want to ask me for?
I didn't know for certain, but I know now. Listen to me, Susan. It'll be worth £10 to you if you'll tell me who's at the back of Barney this time.
Someone what could lay down £1,000 for every 10 you got in the bank.
Ah, so, a very rich gentleman, eh?
That's where you're wrong, see. You think you're so clever, but you're wrong there.
Come along. Now we've got so far, you might as well tell me the man's name and earn a tenner.
I'll see you in hell first.
How dare you? Unless you apologise immediately.
Apologise to him? Not likely, nor to you neither. Oh. I've had enough of this dead and alive hole. I'm clearing out right now. I'll send for my box tomorrow.
Goodbye, Susan. If you have any more respiratory problems, Parigorics, the stuff.
Plainly, the gang means business. We didn't waste any time. Your letter to me was postmarked late yesterday evening, yet Susan passes the word to Barney. Barney has time to go to his employer and get his instructions. Black Steve is called in, and by 11 o'clock this morning, I'm warned off. Quick work, eh?
Yes, but what do these ruffians want?
Yes, that's the question. Why are they so desperate to get hold of your furniture, Mrs. Maberly? You don't happen to have a Raphael or a First Folio Shakespeare knocking about?
No, I don't think I have anything rarer than a Crown Derby tea service.
Well, that would hardly justify this skullduggery. If they coveted your tea service, they could offer a price for it without buying the whole house. No. As I read it, there's something you have which you don't know you have.
And something you wouldn't give up if you did know.
Yes, well done, Watson. You're absolutely right.
But what on earth could it be?
Well, let's see if we can narrow this down a little. Now, you've been in this house for 1 year?
Nearly two.
Nearly two, all the better. During nearly 2 years, no one wanted anything from you. Suddenly, you receive urgent demands. Now, what may we gather from that?
It must mean that the object, whatever it is, has only just come into the house.
Right again, my dear fellow. Tell me, Mrs. Maberly, has any new furniture arrived recently?
No, I haven't bought anything for the house this year.
That is very remarkable. Well, I think we'd better let matters develop a little further. Is that lawyer of yours a capable chap?
Mr. Sutro? Oh, yes, very capable indeed.
Now, I understand you have another maid in the house, apart from the fair Susan who just slammed the front door on her way out.
Yes, there's Molly. This is her day off, but she'll be coming back later.
So tonight you and Molly will be alone?
Yes.
I'd like you to invite Mr. Sutro to spend the next few nights under this roof. You may be in need of protection.
Protection? From whom?
I wish I knew. If I can't discover the man's identity, I must get at it from a different direction. Did the house agent leave his address?
He gave me his card. I have it somewhere, but it just said Haynes Johnson, auctioneer and valuer.
That's odd in itself. Men of business don't usually conceal their address.
Very true. Well, there's nothing more we can do at present. You'll let me know if there are any further developments.
Yes, of course. Let me see you out.
Try not to worry, Mrs. Mabley. Now Mr. Holmes has taken up the case, you can rely upon him to see you through.
I'm sure I can.
Talking of cases, where does that luggage come from? Piled up on the half landing. I noticed some foreign labels, Milano, Lucerne.
Oh, they're poor Douglas's things. Sent back from Italy.
But you haven't yet unpacked them. How long have they been there?
Well, they arrived last week. I'm afraid I've been putting it off, rather.
Yes, yes, very understandable. Last week, you say?
Yes, that's right. The luggage was delivered on Friday morning and I... Good heavens. You don't think...
It had crossed my mind.
You mean there's something valuable in one of those cases?
It's a possibility, isn't it?
I suppose so, and... Yet it hardly seems likely. Douglas only had his salary and a small annuity. What could he possibly have?
Delay no longer. Have these things taken upstairs, the trunk, the suitcases. Examine them as soon as possible to see what they contain. I shall return tomorrow and hear what you have to report. Until then, goodbye, Mrs. Mabley.
Goodbye, Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, and thank you.
Doesn't this strike you as incongruous, Holmes?
What's that?
These sinister goings-on, set amid pleasant rural surroundings. We might be 100 miles from the great metropolis. And it was such a peaceful spot. And all the while...
Not as peaceful as all that. Our friend's as good as his word. He promised he'd be waiting for us.
Our friend? Of course. I see what you mean.
It's a small world, Mr. Holmes.
And your world will be even smaller once the police catch up with you.
Please, Mr. Holmes. We don't want no talk about police. Or no more trouble about that business of your own Perkins, neither. I done think over what you said this morning, Mr. Holmes, and I decided if I can help you, I sure will.
You can help me find the man behind Barney Stockdale. Just tell me his name. That's all I want.
If I knew, I'd tell you, honest to God, but I don't. Only thing I do know, it ain't a him, it's a her.
A woman. So that's what amused Susan.
And not just any woman, neither. A real classy dame she is.
Is that all you can tell us?
That's all, so help me. Barney gives us our orders, but he don't tell us nothing else.
And these are my orders. Bear in mind that the lady living at Three Gables is under my protection, and so is every single thing inside the house. Huh? You remember that?
I sure will, Mr. Holmes. But I can't stay here talking no more. If someone was to see me with you, it'd be real bad for both of us. So long, Mr. Holmes, sir. And you too, mister.
Yes, he's scared for his own skin now, Watson. He'd double-cross Barney if he could. But the key to the mystery lies with the late Douglas Mabley. I'm sure of that.
But it doesn't make sense. Mabley had been living in Italy for some time. How could there be any connection between him and this gang of local ruffians?
That's what we have to find out. If only I knew someone who could tell me more about that young man. Douglas Mabley. Mrs. Mabley, the Three Gables. Gable. Great heavens, why didn't I think of him before? Clarence Gable.
Who?
A friend of my youth. Well, you're not the only one who keeps up with old schoolmates, Watson. A strange individual. Spends his day sitting in the bow window of his club, observing the passing show. Oh, it's a human reference book on matters of high society. I must go to Brook Street immediately.
Very well, I'll come with you.
Thanks, my dear chap, but not this time. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Shall we say 10 o'clock? Gable is a little eccentric and detests meeting strangers.
Oh, thank you, waiter. Perhaps just one more cream bun.
Good afternoon, Gable.
Good Lord. It's you. I thought it was the waiter with the tea wagon.
Shh.
Look, you must excuse me. I'm just making a few notes. Let me see, where was I?
I'm sorry to break your train of thought, but I was hoping you might be able to assist me.
One of your clientele getting himself into hot water again?
I wouldn't put it that way myself, but...
Someone with a position in society, title, perhaps?
No, an elderly woman living in Harrow Weald.
Harrow Weald? Look, I'm sorry, Holmes, I can't help you. I'm engaged on a matter of extreme interest.
So am I, and it's also a matter of extreme urgency.
Hush, if you please, hush! Oh, very well, very well. What is it?
I want you to tell me everything you know about the late Douglas Maberly.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, I expected to find you in your dressing gown, still finishing breakfast.
I made an early start. We have to go out.
Oh, yes? And how did you get on yesterday afternoon with, what's his name?
Gable. He was very helpful and told me exactly what I needed to know.
Oh, that's good. What did he say about...
Well, as good as it might have been. This telegram arrived a few minutes ago.
Please come at once. House burgled during night. Police in possession. Mary Maberly.
I blame myself. I should have asked you to spend the night on guard at Three Gables. Her solicitor clearly proved to be a broken reed. Well, there's nothing for it but another trip to Harrow Weald. And I fear we shall be too late.
I'm afraid you've had a wasted journey, Mr. Holmes. There's no chance for you in this case. It's a common old garden burglary. Well within the humble capacities of the poor old police force. No experts need apply.
I'm sure the case is in very good hands, Inspector, but are you sure this is just a simple burglary?
Oh, no doubt about it. We know pretty well who the men are and where to find them.
Yes, Barney Stockdale's gang, of course.
Hey, but how did you know that?
Well, they've been seen lurking about in the vicinity, I fancy.
That's true enough. Luckily, they don't seem to have got away with anything much.
Perhaps you'd tell us everything you know.
Well, it happened last night. Signs of break-in and enter-in. The lady of the house was chloroformed and then...
Good heavens. How is she? Where is she?
I'm here, Dr. Watson. A little faint and dizzy, but as you see, I'm otherwise unharmed. Good morning, Mr. Holmes. I am very glad to see you.
We came as soon as we received your message.
Please, madam, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
You've been through a very nasty ordeal, and you need rest.
Well, it was entirely my own fault. Yesterday you gave me good advice, Mr. Holmes, and I did not take it. I didn't wish to trouble my solicitor, so last night this house was unprotected.
You look very far from well. You really should be in bed.
Please don't worry about me. I want to help you as much as I can.
You can leave all that to me, madam. I've got all the particulars right here in my notebook.
Nevertheless, if Mrs. Maberly is not too exhausted, I would be very interested to hear what she has to tell us.
Well, there isn't much to tell. No doubt the wretched Susan helped them to break in. She knows the weak points in the house. I was only awake for a moment before they thrust a chloroformed rag over my mouth. No idea how long I remained unconscious, but when I came to, I saw two men going through my son's luggage. I'd left it at the foot of my bed, intending to begin unpacking this morning. I tried to stop them. I think one of them struck me because I remember no more.
Seems that the parlour maid heard the commotion because she began screaming out of the window. We were round here pretty sharp after that, but the blackguards got clean away.
What had they taken?
Oh, that's the strangest part of it. As far as I can tell, there's nothing missing, certainly nothing of any importance. They were only interested in my son's luggage. I'm sure he had no valuables.
And they left no clue whatever?
No, nothing. Except a single sheet of paper crumpled up on the floor.
In Douglas Maberly's handwriting, which means it's not much use to us. Now, if it had been in the criminal's handwriting, that might have been a very different matter.
Yes, yes. If the burglars had left you a signed note, that would have been extremely obliging. All the same, I should be curious to see the paper.
I never let anything slip past me, however trifling, Mr. Holmes. Here it is.
And what do you make of this manuscript, Inspector?
Looks like the end of some sort of story, so far as I can see.
You notice the number at the top of the page, 245. Where are the other 244 pages, I wonder?
Well, I suppose the burglars must have got those. I dare say they were in such a hurry they picked up the first thing that came to hand. Much good may it do.
May I see that? Thank you. She smiled at him, and at that moment, love died and hate was born. Man must live for something. If it is not for your embrace, my lady, then it shall surely be for your undoing
and my complete revenge. You observe how it suddenly changes to the first person.
I suppose the author was so carried away by his own story that he imagined himself in the hero's place.
Yes, well, we shall see.
Now, if you'll excuse us, Mrs. Maberly.
Off already, Mr. Holmes.
There's nothing further for me to do here. Now the case is in such excellent hands, Inspector. By the way, Mrs. Maberly, didn't you say you wanted to travel?
That has always been my dream.
And where would you go? Cairo, Madeira, the Riviera?
If I had the money, I would go round the world.
Yes, quite so. Well, goodbye for the present. I shall be in touch very shortly.
Goodbye, Mrs. Maberly.
Goodbye, gentlemen. And I do thank you for all your help.
Come, Watson. A brisk walk to the station, and we should catch the midday train back to town.
Strange sort of character, that, Mr. Holmes.
Strange?
Oh, very. These clever fellows are all the same. So precise and methodical, but there's a touch of madness in their methods.
Cheer up, Watson. We're on our way. The last lap of our journey.
The last lap? But...
Oh, yeah, certainly. We must clear this matter up once and for all. It will be as well if you come with me. It's safer to have a witness present when you're dealing with a lady like Isadora Klein.
Really? And who is Isadora Klein?
You're about to meet her. In fact, we shall enlist another witness. My friend, Clarence Gable. I shall call at his club en route to collect him.
No, no, no. I won't do it. I positively refuse.
You must accompany us. Your presence will be vital.
Look, it is out of the question. You know very well I never meet strangers. I never go anywhere. I never leave the club.
I insist upon hush. This is an outrage.
For once, my dear chap, you must make an exception to your rule.
Never. I refuse absolutely.
I see. Tell me, do you recollect that unfortunate incident in the lower fourth dormitory involving a blacking brush and a Welsh rabbit?
You wouldn't. You swore you'd never tell a soul.
That's because you and I are old friends, and old friends help one another, just as you are going to help me now.
But why should I?
Because I say so, and because it'll be worth your while, very worthwhile indeed.
I shall complain to the secretary, in writing.
And don't trouble yourself, my dear sir, we're just leaving. Fetch your hat and coat, old man. There's a cab waiting at the door.
All right.
My old friend, Clarence Gable, my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Watson.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
I take it you understand the whole sad story now, Watson.
I'm sorry, no, I can't say I do. But I gather we're on our way to visit the lady behind all this mischief.
Exactly. The Senora Isadora Klein, presently residing in one of the best houses in Belgravia.
Yes, but who is she?
But that's amazing. Does the name convey nothing to you?
Nothing whatever.
But she's one of the most celebrated beauties in the world. Well, at any rate, she was. There was never another to touch her. She's pure Spanish, the real blood of the conquistadors. And her people have been leaders in Pernambuco for generations.
You did say Klein.
You omitted to mention her husband.
Oh, yes, yes, she married, practically from the schoolroom, the aged German sugar king, Johannes Klein, and presently found herself the richest as well as the loveliest widow on earth. Then there was an interval of adventure during which she followed her own tastes. She took several lovers.
Among them, the unfortunate Douglas Maberly.
One of the handsomest young men in London. He fell passionately in love, but to her he was no more than a caprice. She is the belle dame sans merci. When her fancy is satisfied, the matter's at an end. And if her partner refuses to accept the inevitable, she brings it home to him swiftly and cruelly.
So the story he wrote was his own story.
You're piecing it together. I knew you would.
And now, I hear, she's about to marry the Duke of Lomond.
Ah.
Despite the fact he's young enough to pass as her son, because of the lady's fortune, Lomond's mama might be persuaded to overlook the difference in age. But a major scandal would be another matter.
And that is why we... Ah, Belgrave Square, at last. Well?
I'm sorry, sir. The Signora is not at home.
But you took Mr. Holmes's card into her.
I'm very sorry. Senora Klein is not at home.
Then we shall remain here until she is.
Not at home means not at home to you, sir.
Your card.
I told you this was a mistake. Come on.
Oh, not so fast, Gable. Here. Let me scribble a few words on the back of this. There. Perhaps you'll give that to your mistress.
Very well, sir.
Look, I don't intend to waste any more time. For heaven's sake, let's go.
Somehow, I don't think we shall have long to wait.
Why? What did you write on that card?
I wrote, shall it be the police, then? They ought to pass us in, I fancy.
I say, that's a bit strong, isn't it?
In this situation, strong measures are called for. Ah, this looks rather more promising.
Senora Klein will see you now. This way, if you please. Please be seated, gentlemen. The Senora will be with you in a moment.
Good Lord. Oriental carpets, exotic perfumes, hanging draperies. It's like something out of the Arabian Nights. The lamps are so heavily shaded. The place is full of shadows.
At a certain time of life, even the proudest beauty finds the half-light comforting.
Not so loud. Ah, I thought so. Good evening, Senora.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes? What is the meaning of this intrusion, this insulting message?
Allow me to introduce Dr. Watson and my advisor, Mr. Gable, who will know the best way to proceed in this matter.
Please, explain yourself.
Surely it needs no explanation. I've every respect for your intelligence, madam, though I have to say that your intelligence has been rather less than perfect of late.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you assume that your hired villains would frighten me from my work, though in fact it was your over-anxiety that led me to examine the case.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What have I to do with any hired villains?
Alas, it seems I've overrated your intelligence. Good day, madam.
Stop! Where are you going?
To Scotland Yard. Come, my friend.
Wait! Sit down, please, and let us talk. I feel I may be frank with you, Mr. Holmes. Already I sense that I can treat you as a friend.
I cannot promise to return the compliment. However, I'm ready to listen to what you have to say and then decide what's to be done.
No doubt it was foolish of me to threaten a brave man like yourself.
What was really foolish, madam, was to place yourself in the power of a band of thugs who will probably blackmail you and will certainly betray you sooner or later.
Oh, no, no. Now you are underrating me. I am not so simple. Since I am being frank, I may say that no one except Stockdale and his wife, Susan, have the least idea who I am. As to them, well, it is not the first time that we have done business together.
I see. You've tested them before.
They are good hounds. They run silently.
Such hounds have a way of biting the hand that feeds them, and the police are already on their trail. They'll be arrested for burglary.
They will take what is coming to them. That is what they are paid for. I shall not be involved in this matter.
Unless I bring you into it.
Oh, you would never do that. I tell you this in confidence, and you are a gentleman.
So, why, if we're to be on those terms, in the first place, you must return the manuscript. You have it here, of course.
Yes, it is here, inside that bronze coffer beside the hearth.
Watson, would you be so good?
Yes, certainly. Is there a key?
It is not locked.
There is nothing here but a mass of burnt paper. Illegible scraps and blackened ash.
You've been playing with fire, madam. And that seals your fate.
Well, I'm sure you will not be so hard on me. Shall I tell you the whole story?
I imagine I could probably tell it to you.
But you must see it from my point of view, the point of view of a woman about to be ruined. Can you blame me if I choose to protect myself?
Yes, if the original sin were yours.
I admit it. Douglas was a darling boy, but he could not fit into my plans. He wanted marriage. Marriage, Mr. Holmes. In his infatuation, he actually imagined that I might tie myself to a penniless commoner. It was unthinkable, and I had to make him realize that.
By hiring ruffians to beat him right under the windows of your palazzo in Rome?
You do indeed seem to know everything. Well, it's true. But I had to watch. I had to make certain that my orders were carried out. I'm afraid Stockdale's friends were a little rough with Douglas, but it was the only way to end it. And even after that, he would not leave me in peace. What did he do? He wrote a disgusting book, giving his account of the story. I was the wolf. He was the lamb. Of course it was under different names, but everyone in London would have recognized me. What do you say to that, Mr. Holmes?
I would say that he was within his rights.
Oh, but he made two copies of the manuscript. One he sent to torture me. The other he kept. To be published, he said. Then came his sudden death. Sudden and unforeseen. But as long as that second manuscript remained in the world, there could never be any peace for me. I realized it must be in his effects, the luggage that was sent back from Rome to his mother.
So you set the gang to work. One of them got into Mrs. Maberly's house as a servant.
I wanted to do the thing honestly. I was ready to buy the house and everything in it. I would have paid any price she asked. I only resorted to other methods when all else failed. What else could I do with my whole life at stake?
What else, indeed? Ah, well. It seems that I shall have to compound a felony, as usual.
Oh, surely.
Tell me, Signora, how much does it cost to go round the world these days in first-class style?
Why do you ask such a question?
Well, could it be done on £5,000?
Yes, I should imagine so.
Very well. Do you have a checkbook?
Yes, in my desk, but I do not.
Perhaps you'll oblige me by writing out a check made payable to Sherlock Holmes for the sum of £5,000. I take it you agree to this proposition.
If you say so, I don't care. £5,000, you say.
If you please. Tomorrow morning it will give me great pleasure to pass the money on to Douglas Maberly's mother.
But, Holmes, wouldn't it be simpler if the cheque were made out to Mrs. Maberly directly?
Oh, certainly. But if the good lady knew where the money came from, I fancy she might refuse to accept it.
Ah.
You see, madam, Mrs. Maberly has set her heart on an extended holiday abroad, and I think you owe her a change of air. Don't you agree?
If you say so. There you are.
Thank you. You've been very generous.
I have got what I wanted.
Splendid. And so has my friend Clarence Gable.
What do you mean? What has your friend to do with me?
Hadn't you better be making a move, Gable? Otherwise, you might not make the first edition.
Oh, yes, certainly. I wouldn't miss this story for the world. Farewell, Holmes. Au revoir, Doctor. And, hasta la vista, senora.
I do not understand. Why is your solicitor interested in this story?
He's not a solicitor. He happens to be a journalist. When you play with fire, madam, you must expect to get burned.
You say Gable is some sort of journalist?
Yes, at school, he was always called Great Gable on account of his height.
Mm.
I think that's how he got the idea for his pen name. A nearby eminence in Westmoreland.
Langdale Pike, of course. Good Lord. When tomorrow's Globe appears, I should think the Senora might follow Mrs. Maberly's example and seek a change of air.
Yes. I don't think she'll ever be the Duchess of Lomond now. Do you?
In The Three Gables, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Mary Wimbush as Mrs. Maberly and John Wells as Clarence Gable. Senora Isadora Klein was played by Gillian Barge, Steve Dixie by Ben Thomas, Susan Stockdale by Susanna Corbett, the police inspector by Neville Jason, the house agent by Johan Meredith, and the footman by Peter Whitman. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Three Gables was dramatized for radio by Peter Ling and directed by Enid Williams.